Okay, I think this is working now. Okay, sorry about that. And good morning and welcome to Faith Presbyterian Church's morning devotionals. Today we're going to be continuing the series Walking by the Spirit, in which we're going through the nine fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. And today we'll be focusing on the fruit of kindness. Now, when someone close to you dies, your world gets turned upside down. And yet, even in the chaos of your emotions, your hearing is still strangely attuned to what people are saying to you in those moments. When I experienced the death of my mother, and more recently even of my sister, I remember feeling that people didn't know what to do with the pain that I was feeling. Many made comments alluding to the fact that I should feel comforted because my loved one was now in heaven. And though that was true and was a deep comfort to me, what I really needed wasn't instructions on how I should feel. I needed them to enter into the pain with me, not to try to pull me out of my pain. I needed them to weep with me and mourn with me, to try to understand my pain and put aside the discomfort that they were feeling toward me and trying to comfort me in that moment. Kindness is more than being nice to someone. It's putting other people's needs before your own. It is being generous and considerate and caring. It's also being compassionate, sympathetic, and tender with others. In Matthew chapter 9, we read of Jesus going from city to city healing people. And we see how the wonderful works of Jesus were twisted by the Pharisees who were observing what he was doing, saying that he was doing evil when in fact he was doing miraculous works. Those religious leaders were suppressing the good that Jesus was doing by putting heavy burdens on the people. Matthew 9:36 says that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. These people were living with diseases, persecutions, and injustices of all kinds, along with many other problems that they were facing. And those who were supposed to be there to help them were only pouring salt in their wounds, harassing them, and offering no help at all. But Jesus showed the greatest compassion and kindness the world would ever see. He not only wept with these people and mourned with these people in their struggles, he gave up his life to help them in their time of need. Friends, I'm sure that you have noticed that our world, and particularly our nation, is a total disaster right now. There are diseases, there are persecutions, there are injustices of many different kinds. We have problems that run very deep, and they cannot be easily resolved. The footage of the killing of George Floyd is really only a glimpse of the horror that exists. There are, of course, countless other moments that are not caught on video. While the U.S. has come a long way from where we were as a nation in generations past, there continues to be deep-seated issues in our hearts, issues of racism, hatred, violence, discrimination, abuse, and murder. I've followed many different news stations covering the problems, and everyone is pointing fingers at the other side. Everyone is trying to tell us whose fault this is, how we should feel about these things, what we should do, and how we should do it. Everyone has a solution, but the truth is that none of these solutions is enough. The problems run very deep, and no one knows what to do. And while I believe that it is necessary for us to make big steps forward to make significant changes right here and now, Scripture also teaches that we as Christians have a responsibility to do so in a Christ-like manner. What we do matters, but so does how we do it. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We must pursue justice, and we must do so humbly and with kindness. Our purposes and our approach are tied together as Christians. So what does this mean? Well, when we do open our mouths, we must take great care as to how we open them. We must be wise, which means that we must control our tongues. With so many ideas and opinions being thrown around, perhaps it would be wise for our response to be one of listening and praying, rather than broadcasting our perceived wisdom to everyone we possibly can. Perhaps God is calling us not to be just one more voice in the middle of millions shouting out our opinion, but rather to be the voice of compassion and kindness. In the passage I mentioned earlier, Jesus sees the people and he sees that they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless and they're harassed. We can see a lot of similarities with what is happening in our world today. But we need to gauge how we respond to how Jesus responded then. First thing he does is that he is moved to compassion. Rather than to attack and to point fingers at those people who were in charge or who those who were leading those people at that time, who may be guilty or may not be guilty, he silently mourns for the people who are hurting. He mourns with them. He weeps with them. He sees their pain and he cares for them. He shows them compassion and kindness. He understands the need, having mourned and wrestled with the pain of those who are suffering. So first, he's moved to compassion, but second, he listens and he understands the need. And third, we see that he turns to God. His compassion drives him to plead through prayer for a solution. Brothers and sisters, there are many issues that we're going to face in these weeks, in the weeks to come. Issues that we will have an impulse to speak out about and to resolve with our own human wisdom. But rather than open our mouths and cause more harm to those around us with uncaring or inconsiderate words, I encourage you to show compassion. May we learn about the need first. And may we silently turn to God in prayer. At the end of the day, we know that all these problems are not only deep, but very complex. And what they need more than anything else is to be bathed in prayer and in fasting. So with that in mind now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in a very difficult time as a nation and throughout the world, a time of much suffering and struggle. Father, many of us don't know what to do. The issues that we face are deep. They're very complex. They're more than what we can solve with a few words that we post on a page or articles that we might share. Lord, we need to be more like you. Lord, help us to be compassionate. Help us to see those who are helpless and powerless, those who are harassed. And help us to get on our knees, Lord, to intercede, to ask you for change, to ask you to help. Father, we need you desperately this morning. We need you desperately these weeks. Lord, we know that we cannot rely on our own human wisdom, our own understanding. We must turn to you, for you are wisdom, Lord. You know all things. Lord, help us to be silent. Help us to be prayerful. And Lord, let us be compassionate by coming alongside those who are mourning right now, those who are weeping. Help us to show them kindness. Help us to get down in the ground where they are in their struggle, to understand their need, and to bring them before the throne of God. For we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that this message might have encouraged you in some way, and that You will join us again on Wednesday for prayer meeting at 7 p.m. and for our next devotional on Friday at 7:30 a.m. with Pastor Nicoletti. May God teach you to rely on Him more and more today and this week as you follow Him, and to do so with kindness. Amen.